talk about something very, very, very practical for you today, and hope that it's something that you can incorporate into your lives. But before we do anything else, let's have a word of prayer. Zach, you want to pray for us? Amen. 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 That's good. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, episode in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ following his temptation in the wilderness. He returned from that in the power of the Spirit, according to Luke 4, 14. And in verse 15 of Luke chapter 4, he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And then verse 16, our text, and we won't just stay here. We'll get the idea of our text, the theme of our sermon tonight from this text, and then we will move around a little bit and look at some examples. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, he, speaking of Jesus Christ, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and, watch the next four words, as his custom was. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. As his custom was. You know what you're doing here tonight? You're here tonight because this is your custom. This is what you do on Sunday nights. And I'll look around here and I'll see pretty much the same faces I'm looking at right now on Wednesday night. And you were here this morning. Why is that? Because this is your custom. It wasn't always your custom. Perhaps you were saved before you became as regular and faithful in coming to church as you are now. Maybe you just started coming on a Sunday morning when you first started going to church. Perhaps before you got saved, you might have gone weekly because that was what your religion prescribed and you were pretty faithful to do that. But nevertheless, you did that because that was your custom. And then after you got saved and you began to grow, you're like, you know what? I think I'm going to change my custom a little bit and I'm going to be there Bible studies and Wednesdays and Sunday mornings and evenings. And here you are. Here you are. And you know what that is? That's the same thing that you read about in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. It was customary for Jesus to be in the synagogue on the Sabbath. That's why he was there. That was his custom. Now notice, he's not the only one that had a custom like that or a manner like that. Turn to Acts chapter 17. When Paul the apostle got saved, he traveled. He was an evangelist, prophet type that he went from place to place. And the result of his work was the salvation of multitudes. The result of his work was the planting of churches. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 1 and 2, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, watch it, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So notice that Paul had a manner, and every Sabbath he was in the synagogue. And Jesus Christ had a custom, and every Sabbath he was in the synagogue. That was their custom. That was their manner. And so it happened every Sabbath. Notice that not only in attending to these matters of being in the synagogue did they have a custom or a manner, but turn with me to the Old Testament. Notice a couple of well-known Old Testament figures. First of all, David in Psalm 55. Psalm 55, and look at verse 17. Psalm 55 and verse 17. So we've seen that Jesus was in the synagogue, as his custom was. Paul was in the synagogue, as his manner was. Notice the custom and manner of David the king in Psalm 55, verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now David wrote that because Not because that was a good idea. David wrote that because that's what he did. He had specified times during the day that he would pray. Evening. It didn't necessarily mean that at 6 o'clock every day he did, but in the evening he would pray. And morning, I would suppose, like many of you, that was something that he did shortly after he arose. And at noon, so when he took the midday break, he spent some time in prayer. And that became customary for him. Notice he's not the only Old Testament figure like that. Turn with me to Daniel. Many of you know this passage of Scripture, but turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. We're just laying a little groundwork here. Daniel chapter 6. Now, in Daniel chapter 6, what has happened is that some leaders in Darius's kingdom have tricked the king into making a decree to trap Daniel. Daniel prayed to God every day. And these fellows knew it, and they didn't like him. They envied him. They wanted him out of office. They knew there was no fault they could find in him. So what they figured they would do is get the king to pass a decree. They knew that Daniel would keep praying. He would violate that decree, and then they could have him killed, which is what they tried to do in the lion's den, because of his violation of the law. Notice verse 10. Even though they made a decree, you could not address a god other than the king with any petition. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, making it illegal for him to pray, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Before I continue, why do you believe he opened the windows in his chamber toward Jerusalem to pray? Some of you know, when Solomon dedicated the temple, it sounds the same, just a different letter, starts temple. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he said, if they're in captivity and they pray toward this temple, hear thou in heaven, and then give them grace with their captors and eventually bring them home. That's what he was doing. He was following that prayer of dedication that Solomon had prayed. His windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. And that's kind of interesting because the temple had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. But he still remembered, I'm praying back there just the way that God promised to hear. What did he do? He kneeled upon his knees, watch it, 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. This was a custom with him. This was a manner with him. Perhaps he took after what David said, evening and morning at noon while I pray, and figure that's a good time for him to pray, busy man. And so he used those free times before work, after work, and during the middle of the day when he took a break from work, and used that time, among other things, to pray. What do we learn by this so far? If you're going to get anything done on a regular basis, if you're going to get anything done on a regular basis in your life, then that thing must become customary. That thing must become a manner of your life. That must become habitual. And so what some of us do in order for something to become customary in our lives that wasn't, or something to be customary in our lives we don't want to forget, we'll use a list, or we'll use a chart. We'll use something that reminds us this is what we do on that day. On my phone, I have a reminder on Wednesday and again early on Thursday morning every other week to put the recycle out. And so I never miss it. It is my manner. It is customary with me to get recycle out early in the morning on the day of our trash day because it is on a list. I am reminded to do that. What happens is if you make a resolution that you want to do something and you don't use some method of charting it or listing it or reminding yourself to do it, what happens is you start well and then you don't end well. It goes away. Am I right about that? It kind of doesn't happen again. All right. I'll give you some practical examples of this kind of thing. You know that Randy made a decision several years ago that he was going to lose weight. And so he got an app on his phone called Lose It, if it's correct. And that app required him every day to input the quantity of calories that he was eating at each of his meals. And And what he did is there was a certain calorie level that he could eat if he was going to lose weight. Sad news was that as he began to lose weight, his body became more efficient, his metabolism improved, and some other things like that. And so his caloric intake was being reduced if he wanted to continue to lose weight. That was not good news. But as you know, because you've seen him, he was successful in being able to lose that weight and, more importantly, successful in being able to keep that weight off in spite of the fact that it was a fight. And the reason is he charted it. He was faithful to that until it became, what's the word, customary. It became his manner. You've seen many, many people get on a diet. They follow the diet until they reach the magic goal. They're so happy with themselves. You see them 3 to 6 months later. And you don't say it, but you're thinking to yourself, what happened? Because now you got all that you lost back and some. But this didn't work at all. You know what happened? It didn't become customary. You weren't doing something that could become a manner of life. You were doing something drastic to lose the weight. And when you went back to the manner of life that you had, you put it all back on. Because that's how you got it in the first place. Right? Not being a sore subject with any of you, maybe it wasn't you personally, but you saw it in somebody else's life. You are going to do what becomes the custom of your life. You are going to do the thing that becomes the manner of your life. And in order to keep it, sometimes you have to remind yourself on a daily basis that this is what we do. Using Randy, since he's not preaching tonight, as an illustration again, he also is very faithful with his family on a budget. He uses a budget in order to be able to properly account for his income and control his spending. And the nice thing about a budget, the bad thing about a budget is it tells you how to spend money. You don't tell it how to spend money. The bad thing about a budget is it tells you how to spend money. You don't tell it how to spend money. It's both the good and the bad of this thing. Nevertheless, as a result of that, it has become a custom. It has become a manner. And therefore, he is able to accomplish the financial decisions that he makes in his family because he's using a list, a budget that says this is the parameters of our spending. Now, in both of those cases, in the case of lose it, in the case of the budget, you realize that is the matter, that is the custom, but as it is with so many other things, there are times, from time to time, when you do something that isn't customary. In other words, it's not so religious that it doesn't allow for exceptions. This is very important, because if it was so rigid that it didn't allow for exceptions, the first time that he had an exception to it, he would throw away the list in frustration. I didn't do it. It didn't work. And guess what? He's going to go back to the custom and manner of whatever it was before. He's going to do what he did aforetime, as we see in the case of Daniel. And so you recognize, if I say to myself, I'm going to do this every day, and I don't do it Thursday, there's no reason to throw the whole thing away or double up on Friday. Just Friday, we go back to what we said we were going to do. And that way, you don't lose your mind over something like this. You establish a custom. You establish a pattern. You'd establish a manner. Does that make sense? Yeah, the where people get messed up is they say, this is the way I'm going to do it from now on, and they become as rigid as the Gestapo, and then they kill themselves when it doesn't work. It's not perfect, but it's customary. As his custom was. You say, well, now that's great. All that's wonderful. So what's the point? Here's the point, and we're going to talk about some things specifically. You can get anything done in your life that you want to do as long as it becomes customary. As long as it becomes your manner of life. And that's where it takes a little time and adjustment to make something a manner. Let's talk about this one. This is something familiar to you. One day in your life, you made up your mind, I want to read my Bible daily. The preachers keep talking about reading the Bible every day, and I want to make that my life. And you know something? The day before you made that decision, there was literally no time in your day for a regular daily Bible reading. Because you just looked at that and said, I don't know where I'm going to fit it in, but I got all this to do. And then Kim very generously found a Bible reading calendar, and we started buying the Bible reading calendars at the end of the year for the next year. Started putting them out there about whatever, November, December, out there on the deal. And some of you said, you know, maybe that will help. And you got a Bible reading calendar and you started following that every day of the week. And next thing you know, it became your manner. It became your custom. And now you are daily Bible readers. Some of you who go through your Bible cover to cover once per year, twice, whatever it is, through the New Testament, four times through Psalms and 12 times through Proverbs, if I'm not mistaken. How many of y'all use the Bible reading calendar to read your Bible? All right, so there's smattering people right here. The others of you have them at home and they gather dust because it never became your manner. It never became your custom. Would you like to be able to say, I would love to be a daily Bible reader? Get you something like that list that helps you read on a daily basis. Now, I didn't raise my hand to that particular thing because I don't read my Bible daily that way. I read it a different way. I read from Genesis all the way to Revelation. When I get to the end, I read from Genesis to Revelation. And so I do it that way. But you know what? I have in my mind a certain amount of Bible that I want to read every day. And so that's what I read. I love when we had this discussion before Brett left to go to Kansas, we had a Bible study at our house, which we'd been doing customarily, as our custom was, on Thursday nights. But that night I said, you know, we're not going to, now I'm not going to teach you a Bible study. What I want is I want every person that's here, and there were 8 or 10 kids there, young people there, and I said, I want you to ask Brett a question of something he learned in life that would be that might be important for you to hear from somebody that is your peer. Ask him a question, and then we'll think about the answer. And then I want you to give him something that you've learned that might help him when he goes to Kansas. That was a beautiful night. I went ahead and summarized those comments and those admonitions and gave those to all the kids that were, or the young people that were there that night. I thoroughly enjoyed that night. But one of them asked him about the transition that he made from medical school to surgical tech school and how he knew for sure that was the right decision. And he said this, he said, what I noticed is, as he was trying to find his direction, he said, what I noticed is in my daily Bible reading, God always had some direction for me in that day that guided me toward where I am now. And I know that this has to do with the will of God. I said, man, that was remarkable. But he also said this, and this is what was really clever. He said, there were days when I missed my morning Bible reading, and so I made sure when I got home at night, the first thing that I did was my Bible reading. Isn't that wonderful? You know what that was? That was a manner. That was a custom. I'll pass that along to you to say it's not so rigid. It may be that there's a day when something else happens. You just say, okay, but it's something I do. I'll do it later in the day, but I'll still get it done. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, that's beautiful. And so many of us have learned one way or the other, whether you read like I do or read on a calendar, we have learned if you're going to get Bible reading done on a daily basis, it is going to have to become a custom. And one of the easiest ways to make that happen is to put it on the list or read it by the calendar. Some of you like to pray, not only on Wednesday night, thank God. You like to pray through the week for the things that we're praying about on Wednesday night. You like to pray through the week for other things that are on that are on your heart. But you know how you keep track of what to pray for? You make a prayer, help me, list. You know, it's a funny thing. We don't like lists, but we use them all the time. And we do it because if we don't, we'll forget. All right, so I've done the same thing. You know, I told you, tear up the list, save your life. I had to tear up my list because what I did is I was starting the day with five things. By the time I got to the end of the day, I wouldn't have those five things gone. I'd have 10 more on the list, and I was like driving myself crazy with this. That's not working. Get rid of that. If a list is going to work for you, it's the kind where you get the pleasure of scratching it off. That is done. I did it. And you go to bed at night and you're like, whew, it's been a good day. Everything on my list is gone. The one thing I couldn't do, I couldn't have done anyway. And I put it on the calendar for Monday next week, and I know that it's going to get done. That's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. There's a reward in that. It's the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. So, but you use a prayer list. And you do that so you don't lose track of the people you said that you would pray for. And it's a reminder to you every day that these are things that need to be done. And so suddenly, where you didn't have time when you first decided this is what you wanted to do daily Bible reading, and when you didn't think you had time to be praying, you have suddenly found out you can't get through the day if you don't pray and read your Bible. That there is a difference in the day when you do compared to the day when you don't. I've learned that. Boy, I mean, it's amazing. Sometimes I look at what I have to do with the things that are on the schedule, and I'm reminded to pray. A lot of times I like to come in here and I'm thinking, well, we're just going to trust God for this. At first I used to be like, I don't know how you're going to squeeze this all in. Now I realize I know what's happening, and to finish up praying and go in there, and it's like clarity, and you know, it works, and boom, it's done. And it's like, how'd that happen? But that's the way God is. How y'all liking this so far? Just being sure here. I mean, I hadn't even gotten to the message yet. I'm getting there. I'm just kind of easing up on it. You know something? Hopefully tonight, if you're not a regular Bible reader or not one who prays on a regular basis, you've already heard two things from the text that have helped you to be able to say, you know what? I know I can get this done now if I will just make it a custom in my life, and it will become a custom if I do it by a list. I'll tell you another area where, as is custom was, I'll tell you another area in your life where it becomes very helpful, and that's in your giving. You're generous. I say that because of the church is generous. The people here love to give. But perhaps tonight you're a person who struggles with being able to give as much as you want to, because what's happened is you're seeing in your life a situation where sometimes there's more month than there is money. you know what I learned about that many years ago? Ann and I sat down together and we said, this is what we need to do, and that's what we do. And you know, there's no thought about it. I've been teaching Ann this year how to take care of the online banking. Let me tell you something, man. If you want to know that the grace of God is real, I can attest to you that it's real on Monday mornings from 9:30 to 11. Because my wife knows that is something that would try my patience greatly. But I told her at the beginning of this year, I said, you know, a lot of times I'm with families and where there's somebody deceased now. And the widow or widower says, and I know nothing about our finances. I know nothing about how to take care of our banking. And I thought, that just shouldn't be. And so I said to Ann, I'm going to teach you how to do this. And she goes, I can't remember exactly how she put it. It was like fat chance or good luck. The computers are seriously, they're a challenge to her. And they are to some that are here. That's just not her forte. And I said, no, I have decided for 1 year, 52 weeks, I'm going to sit down with you every Monday morning and we're going to go through this. And you know what we do on Monday morning at 9:30 in the morning? We're sitting there very close to it and we're doing banking. And I'm going to tell you something. Hats off to my wife. She is learning. She's remembering passwords and usernames and navigation. I'm serious. I'm shocked. I'm sitting here. This is the middle of the year, and I'm like, wow, you're really getting through this. Maybe by the end of the year, you'll have this down. I know it's funny for you to hear that, because some of you guys, you could literally pick it up in a day. She's just not built that way. And in order for this to work, it has had to become a custom in our life. But you know, so getting to the point of this, sometimes on Sunday, like I did today, I will pull the check out of the checkbook, and then I'll come here and put the check in the offering, and I won't put the amount in the voucher because we're going to be together on Monday. She doesn't even have to ask me what it is. She knows what it is. It's what we do every week when it comes to missions. And I don't say that. I'm getting a lot of head nods around here. You have found that to be true in your own life. You decided after missions conference, I really want to do something for missions. And you found out when you do it every week or every month the same way, it gets done. And when you don't, you have the great desire to do it. But at the end of the year, you're like, but I didn't get that done. So this is not bad news. This is not bad. This is good news. Here's the nice thing. I'm not going to pass out a chart for you. I'm not going to pass out a chart for you and say, okay, here's your chart. This is what you got to do now. No, I'm trying to give you something that will help you. And if you want it to work, go home, get with God and say, Lord, how much Bible do you want me to read each day? Do you want me praying for these things we pray for on Wednesday? When would you like to hear from me? Would you like me to be regular in giving to missions? What would you like me to do? And you know something? The Lord, in a very peculiar way, has a way of giving you some insight there, some desire there. And when you make that, when you put that on your little list and say, you know what, I did that this week or I did that this month, it gets done. And when you don't, it doesn't. All right, well, you say, are there anything else? Yeah, I got about 15 more things here. No, I don't. Some of you have learned that when you could sit down with your spouse and open a Bible together and have a time of prayer and Bible reading, that's a good thing. Sometimes they call that family devotions. You know what? That's not going to happen on a regular basis until you pick a time during the day and say, agree with your spouse, this is when we're going to do this. Now, Ann and I have had difficulty with this in our lives. And so we sat down some little while ago and we said, okay, 9 o'clock every evening, we're going to sit down and we're going to read together for 15 minutes and pray for our children. That's not a big deal. Lizzie and Ori are at the house now because their house is being remodeled and we've got them and we've got 2 grandkids. So we're on hold right now. And that's okay. No lightning struck out of heaven and God didn't said, well, there you're a big loser. As soon as we can get them out of the house, we'll go back to it. No. Or he's here, so he's laughing. They went out as badly as we want them to go. No. They can't wait till the painting and stuff in their house is done. Obviously, we've gotten along remarkably well. We've really enjoyed being there in the first 2 weeks of Max's life and watching the whole thing. But listen, you know what? That really worked for us because every night Ann would say, if I didn't say, Ann would say, okay, it's time. Let's sit down. We'll get that Bible out, read a couple chapters, pray for the children. And you know something? God really needs us as husbands and wives praying for our children together. Yeah, it's just a little thing. And you know something? You know that you have enjoyed passing out tracts. When you can put a tract in the hand of somebody that doesn't know Jesus, they might read and either get closer to knowing Him because you've sown some seed, or actually get to know Him because they've read the tract and God used it to convict them, reprove them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So you know what? You could do the same thing with that and say, Lord, I would like to pass out some tracts this week or each day or whatever. You and the Lord work it. And if you do, the next thing you know, you'll have them in your pocket, you'll have them in your purse, and you'll go back there at the night and you'll say, you know what, I passed out those 3 tracts today. And when you don't, you're not aware that you had opportunities all through the day that you missed with cashiers and waiters and waitresses and people you bumped into and so forth and so on. We keep New Testaments back there in that basket on the back seat. I went to Huntsville you know, for the prison revival. And I had some in my truck already, and I said, I better get about four or five more, and I got those. And Ann and I drink smoothies every morning. I love to drink smoothies. But the problem is when you're traveling, you don't always find a place that can make your recipe unless they are a non-franchised type smoothie place. And there was a Smoothie King there, and I thought, boy, good luck here, because, you know, they got their own little recipes, right? And I walked in, there were four college girls working for going to Sam Houston State. And I walked in, I said, here is my morning recipe every day. Do you have anything on that menu that you can adapt and adjust to make a smoothie like that? And one of the girls perked up and said, I think we can use whatever she called it. I have the receipt at home. Wherever I travel, I'm going to make that. But buddy, they nailed it. It was absolutely just right. It was delicious. And anyway, so as soon as we were chumming and talking and carrying on, as soon as it done, I said, you know something, I got something for y'all. Went out to the truck, got four of those New Testaments, already had them ready, walked back in, and I said, listen, I've got something. Well, I'm from Corpus Christi, and look at that cool-looking bridge, blah, blah, blah. And I said, would you guys like to have a New Testament that's marked to show you how to get saved and some lessons to help you to grow? Boy, they perked up, and one of the girls, they all said yes. You know, that's what you do for customer service. One of the girls said, I determined this beginning of this year that I was going to read the New Testament. We're halfway through the year, and I haven't got that done. I would love to have that. I am going to read that New Testament. I thought to myself, what is that? You know what that was? It was just a decision when you get there, wherever I got an opportunity with the person that cleans the room or whatever. I don't mean to just give personal stories, but they're recent and they're illustrative. Don't think of me as the guy that nails this every week. I don't like lists. I don't like charts. I don't like budgets. I don't like reading calendar. I don't like any of it. But I've learned something. If you put it down, you're going to get it done. Let me give you two other suggestions while we're on a roll. Y'all seem like y'all want more, so let me give you more while we're here. Have you ever decided you wanted to memorize some scripture? Bible memory is a wonderful thing. You know what to do? Find the verse you like, highlight it in your Bible, transfer it over a piece of paper, and say, this is the one I'm going to memorize this week. And you go over it till you get it memorized. Next week you go find you another one and you memorize that. You know the cool thing about that? Right now you couldn't quote two, maybe three verses of scripture correctly. Some of you quote lots and lots of scripture, but some you'd love to, but right now you can only quote a couple or three. If you were to do something like, this is just a suggestion, you know what, I want to memorize some scripture. I'm going to memorize the ones I read that are good for me, that are important to me. And I'd like to memorize one a week. If you, on Monday, you find that verse, you repeat it to yourself many, many times throughout the week. That next Monday you review it, you'll have it, you go get you another one, you'll have 52 verses of Scripture memorized this time next year. And if you don't, you will have two or three memorized this time next year. And you know that's right. And you say, well, I would like to be more aggressive than that. Why? You're not trying to set the world on fire. Do what you can do very easily. Do what you can do very reasonably. And next year, if you said, man, I think I could do twice. I think I could memorize twice a week. Well, then add you another one. And by that time, you'll have 156 verses of Scripture 2 years from now memorized. You know, I've told people before, speaking to this, that looks pretty intimidating if you've never read a Bible. I'm holding the Bible up right now, and you can see the thickness of it. You say to somebody, yeah, you ought to read that Bible. When they've never read it, and they don't even know how to say thee and thou and begat and begotten, they look at that, they're like, wow, that's going to take me a lifetime. That's like reading an encyclopedia. That's what it looks like to them. Until you tell them, you know what, if you read five pages of this a day in 1 year, you'd be through this thing cover to cover. And they look at you like you are from Mars. But you just break it down into very small pieces and do a little bit every day, and the next thing you know, you've gotten something done. That's the way it is with everything that becomes customary. Let me ask you something. Is it customary for you to eat? For the most part, you do it every day, 3 to 5 times a day. You don't even have to think about it. It's so customary. Right? And that's what you want this to become, is just something that becomes so customary for you. You don't even think about it. Just, this is what I do. It's how I do it. And the same is true. Ann and I have been talking about this. We have met a lot of our new neighbors. We know them by name. I know their names. She knows their dogs' names. Oh, you talk about where Winter lives? Yeah. Yeah, I say, yeah. I'm talking about Angie and Dr. Kirk. Oh, yeah, yeah, I know them. I know their names. She knows the dogs' names. Beautiful. We got it, the whole thing covered. And I told her, I said, but I have this burden. I've been praying for our neighbors. I got this real burden to talk to them about the Lord. You know how it's going to get done? Help me here. How's it going to get done? It's going to have to become the custom where you prayerfully consider. You see, in our church, we have some ministries. We have a nursing home ministry where we go to two nursing homes. Tony goes to two nursing homes. And people are hearing the gospel and they're hearing things to encourage them. You know why that happens? That's his custom. Every Tuesday, somebody, unless it's inclement weather or a disaster, is going to be on those ships, and people are getting sometimes 20 to 50 Bibles on a Tuesday or passed out. Sometimes souls are getting saved, or sometimes they're just some really good witnesses. You know what? If they quit going on Tuesday, that would quit happening. Every day there's going to be a radio broadcast, 5 days a week. You know why that is? You see where we're going with this? If you want to talk to somebody like a family member, or you want to talk to a coworker, or you want to talk to a neighbor about the Lord and have a time to witness to him, get with the Lord and say, Lord, help me get this on the schedule. So this is my custom, as was his custom, as his custom was. And then the Holy Spirit knows this is a person who is ready to be used in this capacity. I'm going to lead him, lead her, and I'm already watching you do it. Many of you are doing this on a regular basis anyway. And the rest of us are learning from you and realizing if it becomes our custom, it will get done. Isn't that beautiful? It's so simple as to be ignored and so tough because it involves a list that you don't want to do it. But get with God and say, Lord, just help me with this. And anything you want to get done, you can get done if you'll get it on the schedule and make it your custom. Amen. Father, thank you so much for some very practical, plain, helpful, doable wisdom from your Bible. Help us individually now to be able to come before you in our time of prayer and time of fellowship with you to take what we've learned from this message and apply it in our lives the way you want us to, so that things that you want to see done in our lives will get done because you help us, Father, as those become our manner and custom of life. For we ask you to do these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.